Welcome to the Holy Spirit's Curriculum of Joy podcast. My name is Wanika Oberhuber, and I'm your host. My guest today is Miranda Harrier. Hi, I'm so happy to have you here.
Hi, Wanika. It's such a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I will ask you the question that I ask pretty much every guest since a while. How did you come to see the world the way you do today?
Great question. So I came to see the world the way I do today. By everything that's gone on in my life, and by holding gratitude for everything that's happened in my life as well. So the process of being able to actually honor all the experiences that I've been through, and honor even the difficult times, and hold great gratitude for knowing that there's a plan greater than my own, has led me to live a life in joy and in service and overall in peace, although I still live in the body, obviously. But I see the world the way I do today because of everything that's led up to this moment. And I can hold great gratitude for everything that's led up to this moment, including the times that I've been through suffering.
Yeah, that's a big one. So how do you hold gratitude for times of suffering? And how do you hold gratitude for joyful times?
I mean, the joyful times, it's easy, isn't it? It's easy to just be in the joy and appreciation energy in those moments. I guess for the times of suffering, what's really, really helped me is getting to a place in my life where I want to live life in service to others. And because I want to live life in service to others, and I know that when I'm healed, I'm not healed alone, like A Course in Miracles beautifully teaches, I've recognized that even when I go through really difficult bouts of emotional struggles or perceived suffering, bouts of fear, I know there's always a lesson in there for me to deepen my understanding of the truth and deepen my connection with Source and deepen my connection with others. And it's the faith that I uphold which gets me through everything. It gets me through everything, because if I have complete faith in the universe, in God, in my brothers, I trust my brothers who are one with me. If I have that faith and I have that trust and I can harness that energy of knowing that everything's working out for my highest good, because God's will for me is perfect happiness. So if I believe that idea, which I do, I believe every single word in A Course in Miracles. It's totally changed my life. So if I believe that God's will for me is perfect happiness, then even in those times of the greatest suffering, I go, okay, this is hard, but where's the gift? Where's the gift? And by living life in service to others, I've ended up in a role of teaching others how to release suffering. And so I've started to frame any bouts of suffering that I go through almost as another level of a course. Another level of a degree that I don't have to go to university for. Another level where it's like, okay, what can I learn so I can teach? What do I need to let go of? What am I being guided towards in this moment? And the more I live life like that, A, the happier I am, and B, the more I can support other people in being happy in their lives too. I learn things. When I started dedicating my life to my own healing, I started to learn things that I didn't know before, that I couldn't have learned from a book, that I couldn't have learned from going to university, like I said before, things that I could only learn by going through my own experience of suffering. And I don't know much about Buddhism, but I know the Buddha says suffering is our greatest teacher. Well, yes, it really is. It's in those times of that deeper suffering that's where the light gets in. If we have the faith, that's the recipe. If we have the faith, doesn't matter what we're going through. If we have the faith in higher power, or you can call it higher self or Holy Spirit, HS, whatever you want to call it. If we have that faith, then it can bring us through even those darkest times, and it can allow us to sit within the darkest times without even trying to resist them. And that's the key. That's the key, is not trying to even get rid of the suffering. We live within a body. We're not our bodies. We're not our bodies. Yes, we're spirit. I believe that. But we live within the body. So it's about learning to navigate this world as a body. And A Course in Miracles beautifully teaches as well that we need to be able to walk in the illusory world so that we can use the language to teach others in the illusory world. We need to reside in this world in the body so that we can still connect with people that are. We don't want to be off, you know. I'm not aiming to be a Zen master. I don't need to be a Zen master. I know my work here is in the world, and I know that's going to require that sometimes I go through nervous system responses in my body, and that I feel triggered sometimes. But the key is not trying to resist that. The key is not me trying to get rid of it. The key is coming to the holy instant, the present moment, and going, okay, how can I best allow this to move through? How can I allow? How can I accept? How can I move with? How can I connect? Rather than saying, how do I get rid of this feeling? Because it's the resistance to the present moment that causes us the greatest suffering of all.
Wow. So you have decided to reside in the present no matter what, in other words. And you say the key to that is faith, right?
Yeah. The key to that is faith. And I certainly have decided to reside in the present moment. But I don't want to lie to anybody. I don't want to deceive anyone and pretend that I don't suffer. Yes, I make the choice every day, several times a day, to come back to the present moment. And it requires great discipline sometimes. But I don't want to lie to anyone and say that I feel healed. You know, I'm definitely feel like I'm leveling up in my life. I feel like I'm evolving. I feel like where I'm at in my life, I feel like there's expansion happening. I feel like I'm in a place of growth, expansion, healing, and I'm living life in... Oh, it's very exciting. I feel happy and I feel connected and I know that miracles are possible. I'm living life in great faith, but it doesn't mean I don't suffer. And I really want to make that very clear, because so many books that I read by people teaching healing stuff, incredible stuff. I follow so many incredible teachers that have supported me on my road to recovery, but I don't hear enough about their own suffering sometimes. And that's something that really helps me when I hear the people that inspire me say, actually, I go through suffering too. It helps me know that I can get to that place, that we can still, you know, we can still aim for a life of no suffering, beautiful, but we don't have to have a life of no suffering to live in joy. And I know that might sound quite radical. And, you know, of course, the miracles might even go, oh, well, you could live life joy all the time. Yes, we can as spirit. But the fact is, I'm navigating this world in a body, and I'm much more eager to teach and connect with people who are interested in navigating the body life. And that's what I feel called to do on my journey as spirit. You know, we're speaking to people in bodies, like, how do we navigate those nervous system responses? How do we work with the conditioning in the body and learn to teach the fear that it's not real? If you know what I mean by that, when I go.
Yeah, it's a big thing is what I always got, and I've said it many times on the podcast, is teach from where you are at now. That's what I was told from within. That's the most powerful. So, yes, we're in the midst of suffering. Okay, we're in the midst of suffering. Okay, that's where we're teaching from. And that's fine. Because the way I've got it from within is that the teaching is not the suffering itself. It's what is behind it. It's beyond that. And it's because it's who we are. We're not teaching... You know, they always say, you know, teach what you want to learn and all these things, but you're teaching who you are. you're not who everyone is. We're not, they're not teaching something that nobody knows. It's something that everyone knows, and that's why it's so powerful. Not because you're the only one who knows.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is this familiar, it's a familiar teaching, isn't it? It's familiar. A Course in Miracles certainly was for me felt very, very familiar. The language in there, like very an old tune, you know, it's very, very familiar to me. I recognized it, even though I didn't fully understand it at first, and I'm still on my journey to understanding it. But it's so true what you're saying, Wanaka, about sort of teaching where we're at in our lives. And I guess like where I'm at in my life at the moment, it's all about this sort of idea of feeling the fear and doing it anyway. Because I think I lived a long time in my life waiting for the fear to go, doing everything within my power to try and stop the fear, to try and stop the anxiety rising, to try and stop the nervous system responses that go off in my body, you know, because I had trauma as a child. I was brought up with a lot of fear around me. I was conditioned in a certain way. Well, my body was. My body was conditioned in a certain way to have threat responses, to keep my eyes open for perceived threats. So I lived life in a lot of fear as a child. That carried on into adulthood. And I guess for many decades, I was trying to explore, how do I release this fear? How do I let go of this fear? How do I let go of this fear? And now I've realized that actually the only way to release the fear is to not try and release it, to take the action I'm afraid of that I want to do anyway with the fear. I'll do it with the fear. Okay, come here, ego. The ego is not the enemy. And I'm starting in this process now. It's like, the ego is not my enemy. My inner child is not my enemy. The part of me that's conditioned is not my enemy. My body is not my enemy. The world is not my enemy. None of that is my enemy. Come closer. And I bring my ego close and bring through comfort. I hear you're suffering. It's okay. Come close. And then I immediately embody the higher self, because the ego doesn't comfort. So if we're in a place where we're comforting a part of us in fear, this separation occurs. And we become, like Eckhart Tolle says, we become the watcher of the suffering. The separation occurs. And when we bring through the comfort for that part of us in suffering, the ego or whatever we want to call it, when we bring through this comfort for, we step into the higher self. So I'm not trying to get rid of the fear at all anymore. I'm just bringing through a bit of comfort. And then I pick myself up and I feel that fear in my body, integrated, but do what I want to do anyway, because the fear used to stop me doing what I wanted to do in this life. So many years. Oh my God. So many years. I was held back by the fear, because things that I really wanted to do, that I dreamed of, felt so frightening. So I was waiting for the fear to go. And now I'm like, oh my God, I can do these things with the fear. And I'm realizing nothing bad happens when I do that. And the ego steadily starts to just calm down and become integrated in that. And it feels like such a breakthrough for me, because I've realized that I don't really want to live my life in my comfort zone. It's so overrated. If I want to expand in this life, if I want to grow, there are certain barriers that I need to push through, and I know that God's on my side with it. If I'm here to work with God, which I believe we all are, every single person. I don't believe there's like special people that are chosen. Everybody here, you know. I went to a talk yesterday, a coaching talk at a theatre in Leeds in the UK where I live. And they shared a statistic that it was something like, it's like 1 in 3 trillion chances that you're born, or something like this, you know. And it's like, actually, everybody's here to work with God, work with each other, connect with each other. That's what we're all here for, okay? So recognizing that, it's like, okay, well, what am I going to let stop me? I don't want to let anything stop me. I don't want to let anything stop me, because because this body life is short. That the time that we're here in this body, time, obviously time is an illusion as the course teaches, but this body life is relatively this glimpse that we have while we're here. And we have this power in this space while we're here to connect with others, to help as many people as possible. And it might not be as clear as like teaching for some people. It might be being friendly in a cafe while you hand people their drinks. God's plan. Just as much God's plan as a teacher in a school, just as much God's plan as a doctor performing brain surgery, just as important, just as valid, just as worthy, the woman who serves you at the cafe with a smile and tells you, I hope you have a good day, and makes that eye contact with you, just as important. And we're all here. We're all here to work with God. And when I started to realize that, well, it was when I started to see that in others that it translated to me believing that for myself. And there's a great power in us really rooting for others, I think, within our own healing. We don't just want to reach for our own healing. We want to support the healing of others by rooting for them, by believing in others. And then the healing is amplified within as well.
Yeah, of course, the miracle says all are called. There's no one left out.
So how long have you studied the course, Wanaka?
Well, A Course in Miracles, I've told this story many times. I was told I'm a teacher of A Course in Miracles before I had even read it from within. So I was like, I have to read it. I have to get to know it before I can do anything. But there was no one asking me to do that. That was my own idea that I had to know it in order to teach anything or speak about it at all. And even this podcast is coming in December. It will be 4 years. And before that, I was already posting about A Course in Miracles for a few years. So, and before that, I got to know it. I didn't start on before. Yeah. So it's a while now. But I can't tell you the year or anything.
That's beautiful. Yeah, it's just been so life-changing for me. Like, A Course in Miracles has totally transformed my life in so many ways. Beyond recognition, really. Beyond recognition. Yeah, the words of the course just... Yeah. They're like a tonic. They're like a tonic to me, you know? Any page that I open the course on, it will speak to me for exactly what I'm going through in that exact moment. And, you know... There are so many powerful themes that come through the course. What I'd be interested to hear what's been your biggest breakthrough teaching with the course? If you have one or a couple, what would you say your biggest like lessons have been for you, or breakthrough themes?
Well, this is fun. You're turning it around. I've been interviewed before. But basically you're the one being asked the questions, but I will respond and give you the chance to respond as well to your own questions, since you're starting to find questions that are very interesting. Might as well go into it. So yeah, the breakthrough thing is, I don't know if anything has changed or not. You know, according to people around me, I may have not have changed at all, right? But I personally have a very different view of the world than I had before. Nonetheless, I'm still a sufferer, like you were saying. I'm still one who's suffering a lot and not knowing how to solve anything and having to trust that there is a solution. And I'm still following guidance, even though I'm totally freaking out about things that I'm doing according to the guidance. Right? And so there's a lot there. I think that what you were saying about, going ahead despite the fear is part of the process that I'm also experiencing. And I think that that's a, the thing is, the fear is not the master, this, you know, Holy Spirit as the one, the comforter, as he's called, right? As you were saying, the comforter. Yeah. So I think that that's a very important part of it. But I think the biggest thing is that we're all equal and that we're all infinitely valuable, and changing my mind about that, because I certainly am not one who has an easy time believing that or being able to see that. So the challenge is to change my, to allow my mind to change in that way and to see it differently. Yeah. And that's where I'm challenged at the moment, is to allow that shift in the way I see things to deepen and to expand. I don't know what your deepest teachings are. You might answer your own question.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Monica. It's the idea of seek not to change the world, but seek to change your mind about the world. Like, just so powerful, the idea of just reframing every situation. Every single situation, we have the power to be able to reframe and just tilt our head a little and go, is there another way of seeing this? The answer is always yes, 100% of the time. 100% of the time, there is another way of looking at the world when we choose to see things differently. 100%. Even in those darkest moments, like I said before, if we hold on to that faith, the fear cannot take over, even if it feels like it's doing so in our bodies. And that's why it's important to not listen to the fear too much, but to speak to it. That's one thing that I found really useful. It's like not listening directly to the fear. I mean, sometimes we can hear the voice of those wounded parts, those conditioned parts, and we can know what they're saying. But it's speaking to it like it's a friend, befriending the ego. I've had to do that. I've had to learn how to become best friends with my ego. It's not my enemy, because the first time I did the course, I remember being like, oh, screw the ego. My ego just is so annoying, playing up again all the time. And it's like now, when my ego rises, I'm like, okay, sweetheart, come here, come on. It's okay. Okay, so you're feeling really scared. What can I do to help you? And the relief in the body is unbelievable when I do that. Unbelievable relief in the body. And I guess that when it comes to like highlighting the teachings of the course that have really spoken to me, there are so many. But for me, I think the biggest game changer for me when I first did the course was the idea that all my grievances are an attack upon myself. It feels so old saying that now. It feels like, you know, I'm familiar with that teaching a lot now. It's one that I come into my head all the time. But when I first read that in the workbook, I was like, what? I was like, oh my God, yes. Of course, every time I complain about another, it's causing me suffering. I'm not going to get inner peace like that. Of course, when I try and inflict on a guilt on a brother, it's causing me conflict inside, and I'm not going to receive what I want, which is inner peace from that. Of course, when I criticize or condemn or judge, this is not going to bring me any form of pleasure, but it will feed the pain of the ego, who is satisfied by a feast on more pain, because in some way, again, because the ego is not the enemy, in some way, that little ego is trying to keep us safe. You know, in some way, the ego is trying to protect us on some level. When the fear comes up, it's a defense. It's a defense. But obviously, if we defend ourselves, we're attacked as well. So I guess the grievances, you know, the idea of releasing grievances has been the biggest game changer for me in my whole entire life. And it feeds into as well, not just releasing grievances on others, but making sure I release grievances with myself. And one of the biggest parts of my healing journey has been about recognizing that I used to live with an abuser in my mind all the time, beating me up when I made mistakes, ripping me to shreds, calling me names, telling myself you could have done better. Oh, why did you do that? All these mistakes you've made. This is the way my mind spoke to me all the time. And I was living with an abuser in my mind. When I started to discover the idea of bringing through self-compassion, and like I said before, that comforter from within, which I class as Holy Spirit, higher self, bringing through that comfort for the part of me in suffering and creating that split, who's doing the comforting and who's being comforted, we disidentify from the pain and we don't mistake it for who we are. So this idea of comforting, bringing through loving compassion for the part of us in suffering, coming closer to the ego, integrating the ego, bringing it closer, not trying to get rid of the ego anymore. I don't want to get rid of the ego. I don't want to. I love her. I love her. She's scared. That's changed my life. It's changed my life, saying, come closer. Come closer, sweetheart. You're afraid. Not seeing her as this big ego enemy. I don't think it's healthy for us to walk through life like that. I mean, it might work for some people. Some people might really love that way of working. Get away, ego. It might work for them. Of course, everyone has different ways of working. But for me, it was making me have a war inside myself. And it didn't work. But when I started working with this gentleness and not attack, it was very, very, very transformative for me, certainly. And it's something that I work on every day, you know, because sometimes instinctually I'm like, oh God, why did I do that? But immediately it's become habitual to go, sweetheart, you're always doing the best you can. Come on. God goes with you wherever you go, sweetheart. God goes with you wherever you go. There's not a problem. It's okay. You know, it's okay. God goes with us wherever we go. So there's not that need. That's lesson 41. It goes through. It says there's no need for the anxiety, the depression, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because God goes with us wherever we go. How beautiful is that? It's just incredible, you know. And God within, the part of us, the spirit that's infinitely connected with Source, would never be at war with any part of us. Would never be at war with the ego, even. God doesn't even judge the ego, because it's an illusory defense structure that we've created out of past trauma. We don't want to criticize and condemn ourselves or any part of us, of which the ego, it might not be part of spirit, no, but it's part of our body. And you know, to really be high vibe and at peace, we have to accept that we live within a body. Unless we're literally going to go sit on a mountain for the rest of our lives and become a Zen master and not interact with people for the rest of our lives. We're going to get triggered. We live within the body. I mean, great if we don't. Great one day if we go, okay, right, I'm not going to get triggered ever again. Fantastic. That would be brilliant, wouldn't it? But at the same time, we have to accept what we're dealing with right now. And it's about learning how to navigate this world in the body rather than, you know, renouncing the body, renouncing that we live within the body. You know, so it's that fine line, isn't it? I guess like teach no one he has hurt you is one of the most powerful teachings for me as well. Teach no one he has hurt you. Because I really noticed that the ego, and it's the same with everyone, I think, from like really studying people, because I'm a mental health coach, so I get to see inside hundreds, well, thousands of people's minds over the last 20 years or so. Listening to them all, asking them all these probing questions, because it's my job, you know, seeing inside so many people's minds, I've really recognized that the ego immediately wants to inflict guilt, either on the self or on another. It's the first thing that the ego goes to. Oh, they shouldn't have. Why did they say that? Why did I do this? It's this inflicting of guilt. It's Of Course in Miracles says it's the chief weapon. Guilt is the chief weapon. So the idea of teach no one he has hurt you is watching the ego go, I really want to accuse that person. It's their fault that I'm upset. Instead, point that finger inwards, turn inwards. What is rising in me? There's a part of me feeling rejected. There's a part of me feeling abandoned. How can I bring through love and compassion for this part of me feeling abandoned and rejected, and take the other person completely out of it. Because the second we point that finger and accuse, you made me feel, we lose all our power, and we can't possibly have inner peace like that. So this idea of this turning inwards, again, lesson 41, God Goes When Wherever I Go talks about this process of turning inwards. The reason I keep going back to that lesson is because I once did that lesson only for about 40 days. Lesson 41, only that lesson, just one lesson. I was like, right, I'm not going to do it. I couldn't stick to the workbook. It was like the second time I was going through the course. I was like, I can't stick to the workbook. I just couldn't. I'd reached some kind of plateau or something. And I was like, right, I'm just going to pick a lesson at random. And it was really funny, actually, because I opened my book. I was like, right, I'm going to pick a lesson and just do this one lesson for the next 40 days. And I picked, I opened it, lesson 41, God Goes With Me Wherever I Go. And I was like, oh, that one. I was like, my ego was like, oh, that's not a very special one. I don't really even remember that one. I don't even really like it that much. I remember thinking, oh, God, I'm going to have to do that one for the next 40 days. And I thought, okay, I'm going to give it a go. So I read it and I was like, oh, my God, this is just perfect. It's the most comforting lesson I could find. Talks about turning inwards, talks about releasing anxiety, depression, talks about this mighty companion by our sides in every moment, in every moment. Whoa, and that lesson, it's a gobsmacking one. I mean, do you have a favourite lesson as such, Wanako?
Well, right now I'd like to, Henry, you put up your hand. Do you want to say something at this point?
I'm having some trouble with the connection. It's going back and forth. I have a Wi-Fi, I guess it's called. I don't know. And so it's breaking off, and I was pushing buttons. I'm not very good with all the buttons. But Miranda, your teaching A Course in Miracles is really different than I do. It's like I'm watching you. I'm like, oh, okay, that's pretty different. I don't have a group, and I don't really teach people. But I my basic ideas, like the concepts, are really different. So it's fun watching you, and listening. So I'm gonna listen some more. Thank you.
I'd be interested to hear your ideas if you wanted to share, Henry. Like, if you want to, yeah, share the way you teach or concepts that you sort of, modalities that you're drawn to. I'd love to hear if you're interested in sharing.
Well, that becomes a confrontation then, wouldn't it? I mean, is that what you're looking for?
Absolutely not. No, like a conversation would be, if you want to share, that'd be beautiful to hear your voice and hear your, brother to brother, brother to sister. Yeah. If you want to, anyway, I don't want to put you on the spot if you're not.
Yeah, I'm on the spot.
Okay. No worries. No worries, Henry. I just thought you might want to. That's fine. Yeah.
Well, I do. Okay, here's the difference, and like maybe you can help me see the way you see it. I am not a body. I am free. I am as God created me. That goes 20 times. So, like, am I in the body? Well, that doesn't rhyme with the I am free. I am not a body, but oh, I can be in it.
That's fun, Henry.
Oh no, it hasn't cut out. Yeah, totally hear you, Henry. I don't know if you're still there, Henry. I don't know if you cut off or not. Yeah, totally hear you on that, Henry. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I am not a body, I am free, for I am still as God created me. And I understand it probably the same as you. And there is no like right or wrong, I don't believe, with the Course at all. There's just different interpretations of. But with the I am not a body, I am free. Like I said before, I believe every idea in the Course. It's changed my life. And I am not a body. In my true identity, I am not a body. None of us are. We're not a body. Because one of the lessons even states, I am spirit. Boom. I am spirit. I'm not a body. However, the spirit resides within the vessel of a body. We don't want to identify with the body, which means, like me and Wanaka were talking about before, we don't want to feel the fear and mistake it for who we are. I'm just going to touch on a little bit about trauma, if that's all right. I won't say anything triggering, hopefully. But when trauma happens in childhood, so we are as God created us. That's another beautiful hook in one of the reviews, isn't it? I am as God created me. We remain as God created us. So as we're born, at peace already, whole already, infinitely connected with Source. Separation didn't occur. But then the conditioning starts to happen. So we're brought up by caregivers. Those caregivers might be in their own old stories. Those caregivers may not give us unconditional love. We then might go to a school system where we might be punished for certain things. We might be told that we're a sinner, that we're bad behavior. What happens in the body is that the body gets conditioned in certain ways. The nervous system within the body stores memories and stores trauma and stores stories about us. So we create stories about who we are as people. Because when trauma happens at Source, especially if something traumatic has happened to us when we're younger, in those developing years, it's so overwhelming for our bodies to handle, even though we're not our bodies, that we don't make it about what's happened. We make it about who we are. So for example, if every time as a child we ask for our needs to be met, we really need something, we really want something, we need the love and attention, or we even need food or whatever, if we ask for our needs to be met, that every time we ask for our needs to be met, we'll be hit. The story we create about our own identity as a person might be, if I ask for my needs to be met, I will be punished. And that story plays on repeat throughout the whole of our lives and becomes a core part of who we believe we are. Okay. That to me is mistaking the body for who we are, because the body has stored those memories. The body is not in the present moment. The body has accumulated all the past. And this is why I said at the beginning, sometimes we feel that fear, we have to do it anyway. When we feel the fear, we do it anyway, because the body's sending threat responses that are not true, because we're not our bodies. This illusion's coming up about this threat that, you know, we feel terror before we go on stage. Nothing's even happening. There's not a threat. There's not a threat in the present moment, but in the body there is. So we don't want to mistake the body for who we are. But we have to learn, I believe anyway, for me, one of the biggest learnings has been, alongside A Course in Miracles, learning the body response systems so that I can work with my body and not against it. Because when you've been through trauma, and I believe that everyone's been through trauma of some kind, trauma with a big T, trauma with a little T, I believe everybody has. And it's not as easy as saying, oh, but I'm not my body, so it's fine. Because these responses are coming up in the body. Does that kind of make sense to you? So we have to learn how to work with the body, because the spirit, the body is our communication device. We are spirit, but we're residing in this vessel so that we can support others, so that we can connect with others, so that we can spread love, so that we can touch, so that we can feel, so that we can feel joy, so that we can feel connected. You know, we're in the body. So to learn how to navigate the body world, for me, has been really transformative. And rather than just saying, I'm not a body, so So it's fine. If I've got all this fear, fine. I'm just not a body. It didn't work for me, that, you know. I mean, the teaching works for me more than anything. Of course, the miracles, all the teachings work for me more than anything. But that on its own, I needed something a little bit more because my threat responses were so huge in my body for so much of my life. Yeah, does that kind of make sense to you, Henry? I don't know if that's like answered your question, or does that make sense to you, Henry?
Yeah, it makes sense. There's a lot of what you're talking about now works for me, and here's kind of like a question that I would be asking you personally then, as to why you would think that the ego didn't start before you came here.
You need to turn on your mic if you want us to hear you.
I'm just going to really quickly plug my phone in. I'm just going to quickly get my charger and bring it here. It's just running low on battery.
Another fun thing is, you know, it says in A Course in Miracles that you cannot hate what you made. You can only love what you made. So even the separation thought is something that we love. So I think that ties into what Miranda is sharing about comforting and so on, because you cannot deny that you love what you made, the separation thought, in other words. So, and when you deny that, you actually are lying. You're basically lying to yourself.
Can you hear and see me all right? Because I've just plugged my phone
yes.
in. I'm just going to quickly take it on closer because I think that my charger's pulling a little bit. Apologies for this. I think the video just runs down very, very quickly, doesn't it, when you're on video? Yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying there. Yeah. Like, you know, the ego doesn't come to like thwart us. The ego, in my understanding, is actually the defenses. You know, if I defend myself, I am attacked. The ego is the defenses that we present with. I'll give you an example. So if I carry around a fear from childhood within me that if I ask for my needs to be met, I'll use that example again. If I ask for my needs to be met, I will be punished. What's going to happen as an adult is that if I need something, it's going to cause terror coming through my body if I have to ask for my needs to be met. Okay, it's going to cause loads of fear coming in my body if I have to ask for my needs to be met, because there's this fear still that it'll be punished. I might not be rationalizing that in the conscious mind and thinking that, but in the body, I'll feel this fear. However, I'm not a body, I'm free. What the protector, which is the ego, what the ego does then to protect us is it says, don't ask for your needs to be met. So it listens to the body. The ego listens to the body and works hand in hand with the body. And the ego goes, there's a threat here if you ask for your needs to be met, because it remembers the body, the nervous system's been programmed to believe, to keep its eyes out for potential threat, to keep the body safe because we have been punished or whatever. So the ego comes in as a protector there. Okay, listen to the fear. There's a threat. Don't ask for your needs to be met. And it's a defense. Boom. And the ego puts up the shield. Boom. And this is where we need to recognize, if I defend myself, I'm attacked, because the ego comes in with this defense, this big shield. Don't ask for your needs to be met or you might be punished, to protect us. However, in that moment, we're just listening to the past. And in the present, we need to know that it's safe to ask for our needs to be met. So that's the attack. The attack is coming from the place where we're not going to get our needs met. We're not going to get what we want and need. We're not going to get the connection that we want. We're not going to get the love that we want in that moment. And that's because we're listening to the defense. If I defend myself, I'm attacked. We're listening to the ego, and the ego is listening to the body. Instead, like we were saying towards the beginning of the conversation, we want to step out of the comfort zone and feel the fear and do it anyway. It's about working with the body, and we can learn to calm down the body. If we speak to the ego, we go, okay, I acknowledge this is really hard. You're going to ask for your needs to be met. You're going to say no instead of saying yes when you're used to pleasing people your whole life, for example. You know, being assertive is so scary for many people because they're scared of rejection. But we go, okay, let's do this together. Come on, ego, it's okay. And we ask for our needs to be met. And we've not listened to that defense in that moment, and we've not listened to the body in that moment. So we've almost transcended the body in that moment. We've felt the fear and we've done it anyway. And that's how we work with the body. We don't want to listen to the body. So I'm not a body, I'm free. Yes, we're not our bodies. But in a way, we have to work with the body and recognize the responses when they rise in the present moment. Because if we don't do that, sadly, we can end up living in belief that the threat responses are the truth, but the threat responses come from the past, from our childhood, from traumatic moments in our lives. The threat responses come from those times. And when we start to let go of those threat responses, that's when we start to achieve what we want in our lives, because that's the place from which we encounter healing, when we start to change that story. And A Course in Miracles has a really, really beautiful lesson. I can't remember what the lesson itself is, but it's the lesson that starts by saying, fear is deception. It attests that you have seen yourself as you could never be, and thus look upon a world which is impossible. Fear is deception. Every time we're in fear, so that fear is coming up, it's telling us that we're seeing ourselves as we could never be, which means that we're mistaking ourselves for something that we're not in that moment. We're mistaking ourselves for weak when we're actually strong. We're mistaking ourselves for punishable rather than actually limitless. We're mistaking ourselves for vulnerable when we're actually all powerful. And we have to release these stories that we've created in the body. But that only happens by us recognizing the stories. We don't want to make an identity for ourselves out of the body. That's what I feel the Course is saying to me about body-wise. It's like, I don't want to create an identity for myself out of this body. I don't want to mistake myself for this body. That's not me. You know, beyond that, there is a peace that never goes. There's a light that never goes out beyond the body. You know, does that kind of make sense to you, Henry, as well? Like, does it resonate for you?
Sure. That just, those are all concepts that I'm very familiar with too. And one thing that Wanaka said, it's something I've been looking at more and more recently with the idea, and it's not put in the FIP version of edition of A Course in Miracles as, well, I don't want to put it that way. It's almost making something wrong about the one right about the other, but it for me, okay, just for me personally, when I read another edition, it became more clear to me. Maybe it was just my time to read it, and maybe if I read the FIP again, then I would see the same thing. I don't really know, but anyway, when I read this other edition, I noticed that what Wanaka was saying, that's accurate. I love the ego. And I keep denying that I love the ego, but actually, because I created the ego, I love it, and so I love my fear. I'm addicted to fear, and I don't even know what it is after a while because I get so addicted to it. But the way that I'm looking at A Course in Miracles now, I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. the idea that I am born and that I'm going to die, right? That idea of being in a body and I have to leave a body, those are all really Christian ideas that I was brought up with, and I had to throw those out to find A Course in Miracles. It didn't work for me. That's how I got programmed from 2 years old already, and 3 years old. So I threw those out, and that is my drama. That was my drama, with a big T and a little one, the Christian upbringing. And if my siblings heard that, they might be a little upset. But I know that's true for me. I know that's the way my life went. Not theirs, mine. And but now I'm at a place where I'm looking at the idea of, well, reading the book, well, being born, that idea that being born is my will, it's not God's will. So what was it before I was born? See, so they get that gets a little complex there, because then what I'm actually saying with something like that is, this is not God's will. The bodily experience is not God's will. And I know that that's not a comfortable experience for most people. But that doesn't mean any of the other stuff, what you are saying, would be true for me, like that I hate the ego and I'm trying to get rid of the ego and I'm fighting against the ego. And no, no. But ego doesn't make sense to me anymore. See, that would be a lie. Also, because like I still have my moments, I slip right into it, and I feel dirty, and I feel guilty, and I feel shitty, and I'm suffering too. It's like what Nako said, you know, I'm an awakening one, and I'm not awake. I'm not the Zen master. That's not me. But guess what? I'm a Zen master too. I can turn words around, like, and it drives people crazy, because ego wants darkness to be darkness and light to be light. And we had a guest last week, and it's funny, because I wanted to be with the brought a podcast, but I couldn't. And then I listened to it afterwards, and he's like, the way he teaches it's like a Zen master, but he has not studied A Course in Miracles. the way he was teaching, it would drive a Course in Miracles person crazy, because like the contradictions that were in there. I mean, not a Course in Miracles person, like somebody who hasn't really understood the concept of A Course in Miracles and still is just intellectually playing with them, they might get really upset with the way he was talking. And I saw that in my own mind. That's why I can say that, because, and I had to do some really quick shuffling in what I call translation of words to get into the right space of what he was talking about. But on the end, the way the podcast ends, it's like the silence. And recently, the way my life has been happening recently, it's kind of funny, because I talk way too much, and I lost a job because I talk too much. And I talked about Course in Miracles a little bit too much, but other things too. And I got a new job, and I lost that because I didn't talk enough, but the people who were instructing me couldn't teach me. So now I've got another job, and I started the job about a month ago. And so I'm in some kind of tension, and I'm 64 years old, and starting a job again. and really enjoying it actually, because it's such a challenge. But I got into one of those spaces where I thought, oh shit, how am I getting it through this one? Help. That was my like to Jesus, right? Help. And Jesus said, I'm really shortening this story up here. And he said, silence. That's what you haven't learned, Henry. You don't know what silence is. And he was really accurate. You know, I talk too much. But he said, silence doesn't mean that you're verbally quiet. That's not what it is. Silence doesn't mean you stop thinking, because thought is what God is. And then he said, silence is knowing when to give Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And he said, well, Caesar is like ego. You give the world what the world wants, and it's not really like lying, it's like you're allowing them to be in their peace, in their freedom, in their love, in their interpretations of it, and just staying there and being there with that. And you find where your peace is, where your love is, and where you can give. Yeah.
Thank you, Henry. Yeah, it's very, very fascinating. Yeah, and coming to talk about this, these different languages, and we were speaking about the different languages. Actually, my guest from last week is here now. Anyways, so these different languages that are used to describe the beauty of being, right, are so fascinating. And of course, in Miracles has a wonderful, beautiful language. We were actually speaking about how poetic it is the other week. Yeah, and so I think this changing the way we see the world, seeing ourselves, is changing how we see ourselves. And I was also fascinated by how Henry was trying to show these different ways of seeing things, and another thing is, of course, in Miracles is also speaking about how we are not in the body, but the body is in us, in the mind. So the whole world is in the mind, right? The whole idea of separation. And it's only because of the idea of separation that it appears separate, to be separate. So I think these ideas that you're sharing about using the body to communicate connection is one of the things you were sharing about. Another was, then you were speaking of trauma or separation thinking and how it came to be. But of course, it's just a story that it came within a certain time. So, yeah. But anyways.
Yeah, and I'll just quickly pick up on something Henry said there as well, because it was a really interesting point that you raised, Henry, about I am as God created me. Okay, yeah, we can accept that. But when we're born, does the ego automatically come? Well, I reckon it's like, I mean, there's probably millions of different theories, but it really got me thinking. It's like, I think that we do have like ancestral trauma, some people call it, like our parents pass down their stories, these stories, this illusory stories. They pass them down to us through their defenses, through their attacks, or, you know, so I think that stuff is passed down. And also in the body, the DNA can be carried, can't it? Like certain traits. So that's why we need to further disidentify from the body as well, isn't it? Like, because, you know, I am as God created me. The body is sort of less scathed as it is later on, isn't it? But it's an interesting idea that about sort of ancestral trauma as well. Like you're saying, as we were born, do we carry anything? Well, probably in the body, yeah, on some level, don't we? Like, yeah, I just wanted to touch on that and acknowledge that. And yeah, thanks so much for sharing as well, Henry. Yeah, really interesting to hear you, and yeah, just hear your powerful teachings as well, so thanks.
Yeah, there's a lot to go into there. So the idea that separation thinking is something that you bring along, obviously, because you wouldn't experience separation without it. So it's not something that came about in this life or that life, because A Course in Miracles doesn't take party to that. It doesn't say whether there's past lives or not. It says what helps you to remember that who you are, and which is love, according to A Course in Miracles, anything that helps you in that way. If you use past lives to justify separation thinking, then don't use them. It's not helpful. If you use the idea of trauma in this life to justify separation thinking, don't think of it that way. Just change your mind. Let Holy Spirit show you another way. Right? It's all about the way, the choices that we have, and not about the stories. So any story that is helpful is helpful, whether it's describing it from this life or saying it's from many lives, or whether it says we brought it along or not. The thing is, it never came about. The separation thought isn't real in truth. So no matter what story we use to reignite the memory of who we are by joining, I always say we're walking each other home, right? That's what's important. So I don't know.
Yeah, beautiful, Wanako. Yeah, that's such a beautiful idea, isn't it? We're all walking each other home, and the more we can release these stories, you know, acknowledge stories and release them in the present moment, the more we're able to live life in our full capacity, isn't it? The more we're able to live life that is connected with others and connected with source, and, you know, living life in true identity and power, you know, the idea that I am one self, united with my brother, you know, united with our creator. I love that idea of one self. We are one self, and we've not all had the same pasts in the body, have we? So really, it's just like coming to the present moment again and again and again. Now, fresh. Nothing came before. I love that sort of phrase, you know, when going into a meditation or something. Imagine if nothing came before, just now. Like, what is possible from that place? What is possible from that place? It's expansive. Like, what if nothing came before? And only the body remembers what came before in truth. The spirit doesn't really, because time is an illusion to spirit, isn't it? But then the body ages, so so we're living within that reality, which is not a reality at all, really, as A Course in Miracles calls it, is it, you know?
Yeah, the body's only purpose is communication, according to A Course in Miracles. And I actually would posit that the body doesn't have a memory in the sense that you're saying, but in the sense of the dream, we do have the experience that when something releases, the body changes, the feeling in the body changes. It doesn't mean that the body is the source of it or the whatever. It just is the experience. So the description that you're giving of the body holding it and this and that is a very accurate description of how things are held, right? Because the whole dream is a description of separation thinking. So it's really a matter of letting ourselves change, all right? Letting the change happen. And yes, you do experience it in the body, but the body is not the experience itself. The experience comes from somewhere else. And like we've seen so many situations in where Holy Spirit has changed our minds about something, right? Because we asked, please help. I want to see this differently. And then suddenly we had a totally different experience. And I think that, so that, for me, that's one of the proofs that it's not happening in the body, or the body is not the source of that experience. But the body is reflecting about who we think we are at that moment. And I think that the past even changes, because every in the moment when you think something, you get a totally different story. We can't even tell the same story twice about ourselves, even if we think we are, because in the it's actually caused by something else.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like, you know, I guess like everybody will be attracted to different modalities as well. And there's so many different modalities. Like there's a lot of different books, even the courses, there's a lot of different books that teach the sort of same stuff, but in different ways. I mean, for me, A Course in Miracles, nothing has like worked for me like A Course in Miracles has, because the language is so... It's like a sword of presence sometimes, isn't it? It's like the ego is insane. Boom. You think you're a piece of dust. It's like really, it really like slams in there, doesn't it? Like, the way that he speaks and the way the language is, for me, it appeals more than anything. But I guess that we can use other modalities along with A Course in Miracles, and those other modalities that we're all drawn towards are what we need for our own, you know, unique style of teaching. We'll all have different unique styles of communicating, using our bodies to communicate, like you said, Wanaka. So a modality for me that's really, really worked is looking at like nervous system regulation. I don't know, have you heard of that much, Wanaka?
There's many different systems that I've heard of. I'm very open-minded, and I don't see the, because someone is using a different language to describe things, that it is, I don't see that as a reason to say it's not an accurate description. You know, I think it's helpful. If it's helpful, then why not go with it when you feel like going with it?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I feel the same as well. Like, I'm open-minded to like any modalities that sort of throw my way, and we'll sort of be called towards which ones are going to attract towards us. And the reason that I started looking to like nervous system regulation, it's really helped me, is like, because nervous system regulation, it sort of teaches you to calm the body down in some ways. Like it's taught me to be able to, there's like simple exercises we can do to the body from the higher self, from the comforter. It's when Holy Spirit takes my hand, when I'm in surrender, that I'm called to do these kind of exercises, like vagus nerve massage. I'd recommend like check it out. It might not resonate with you guys at all listening, you know, but like there's something called vagus nerve massage, which is just like a really slow massage at the neck, which kind of calms the body down really amazingly. And then there's like bilateral stimulation. I don't know if you've heard that. Anyway, these nervous system regulation tools, which have been really life-changing for me as well. I guess for some people, they're called towards more breath work. Breath work does the same thing, calms down the nervous system, calms down the body as well, centers us, you know. But these are all different ways of like working with the body to chill it out a little bit, so that we can hear the voice for God, so that we're not lost in all these old stories and everything's firing off and the heart's beating and we get in this flurry. It's like, can we calm the body down enough to hear the voice for God? And when we listen, like you said before, Wanaka, you were talking about the stillness, that the stillness doesn't always mean that we're silent at all. And I think it was you, Henry, saying it as well. Or the silence doesn't mean we're not talking. The silence of the mind doesn't mean we're not talking. The stillness doesn't mean that we're sitting down like a statue. The stillness is something that we can carry into every conversation that we have, every person that we meet, everything that we do in our lives. The stillness we can carry into our work as a parent, you know, everything we do, we can carry that stillness and that silence. And it's about bringing that with us, and we keep that connection with source, with the voice for God. And then the body does, I guess, become a vessel in a way. And stuff comes through that you wouldn't have even been able to think of, you know, be called towards new modalities, for example, or drawn towards certain people. You know, no one's sent by accident to anyone. When we're in that flow, and I guess it is required, the stillness, you know, the stillness is required to receive, you know, and be in that flow for sure, isn't it? And for me, the nervous system regulation has helped me feel more still in some way, working with the body in some ways, doing something active for the body, to the body. Yeah, if you're called to look into nervous system regulation, I mean, you probably all do it already, but if you're called to look into it, like, it's something that's really, it really helped me a lot.
Am I on? Are you hearing me? Yeah. Okay. So, I do breath work, but I do my own. I do exercises, yoga, but I do my own. And I do massages, but I do my own. And it's like the model that will work for somebody is theirs. It's like the awakening is individual, and if somebody's going to try to teach that there is no awakening and you are awake, well fine. Yeah, but stay there, stay awake, like you say, stay in the moment, right? That would be my teaching. But if, and that is me, if there's an awakening, well, you use a model, like you said, like meditate if that's what you need, you know. I mean, I wouldn't say it's wrong, but what I would say is why stop meditating when you get up from your mat and walk into the next room? Why stop your breathing exercise? But you know, it's like, be in the moment with it always. Don't you know, why do you stop your yoga practice when you're walking down the street? Why not do yoga while you're walking down the street? You see, but it's like, go totally nuts and laugh and have fun with this stuff, you know. like I'm an excitable guy, and my silence is sometimes a huge laughter. It's a roaring laughter at what somebody's saying. It doesn't make sense sometimes, and I laugh, and I'm being authentic then in that moment. I'm not trying to attack anybody, but it just doesn't make any sense. And then I laugh. It's like I have terror sometimes coming up when I see something funny and I think, uh-oh, if I laugh now, I'm going to lose everything, you know. And in this world, like you said, Mirandi, I do want to sometimes, you know, keep my job, so I don't laugh at the inappropriate places. I think this thing is getting to an end real soon here, so I'm going to stop talking. But it's been really nice to hear you and laugh with you and be with you and share, okay?
Yeah, your laughter's always welcome, Henry. Like, yeah, really, really beautiful to connect with you tonight, brother. Yeah, gorgeous. And you too, Julio. And you too, Wanaka. Thanks so much for having me for this beautiful conversation. Yeah, I've learned so much from you. We both really today. Yeah, so thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. And there's so much we could go into about all of this. And it's a very, of course, in Miracles has a lot to say about it all as well. And I remember that when I began with A Course in Miracles and then got to know some of the thoughts, I thought I had to drop all the things that I had learned, like the various chakra techniques or other things that I had learned previously. And it wasn't what Yeshua wanted. He actually led me on until I understood that there is no separation. I do not have to. He's going to use it all. So even my having been to university and studied cultural and social anthropology and all these things, he's going to use it all, right? And so there, it's not about getting rid of what we have, what's within us. It's about how it's used and giving it to spirit to use it in a new maybe new or maybe a very old way, whatever, but the way that is actually conducive to our all being infinitely valuable. So thank you so much for joining us in this ongoing conversation, because it is an ongoing conversation.
It always will be. Yeah, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. Really, really gorgeous to connect with you all.
How can people reach you if they would like to reach you?
So I'm on all the major social media channels. So I'm Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that jazz. And I'm at Miranda Arie. Arie spelled A-R-I-E-H. And yeah, you can feel free to connect with me on there. It'd be lovely to hear from you.
Perfect. So thank you all for joining us and walking each other home, because that's what we're all doing, according to A Course in Miracles. And I believe that makes sense. And please review the podcast, spread the word, let people know about it. And yeah, and join me if you want in these conversations. I'm very happy to have anyone who wants to share a message of love join me in a conversation on the podcast. So blessings to you all, and till next time.
Blessings. See you later, brothers.